SiriusXM Sports presents At the Races with Steve Bick. Horse racing, handicapping, interviews. This is At the Races with Steve Bick.
From Saratoga Racecourse, a very good Thursday. Race fans, live from the track, and a really comfortable morning, kind of relaxed and very sedate right now at the old spa. Good morning. Sirius 219, XM 201, Sports Zone 964. If you're listening to Sirius XM online and at our website, stevebick.com. And I think I put my headset. Brad Cox, you owe me a visit. Get back here. All right. Brad Cox whistling by on the golf cart. And what's today, Thursday? He was supposed to be on, Monday he said, can I do Tuesday? And then Tuesday, I never heard from him. And then yesterday I didn't ask. So he'll probably come back around. We actually got a busy morning, and we've got some fun live conversations, really kind of laid out one for each hour, and it'll start. I'm looking around for them. I thought maybe Joe Valenti might make his way over with Craig Seidler, and Craig's going to talk about winning 100,000 plus on Sunday at Del Mar. Not a bad day, right? Not a bad weekend. When you go through, whether you go through Twitter and you talk to your friends and you run into people and the scores, you know, all over the place, right? Including Kirk White, who you just listened to in the last half hour, who won himself a John Deere riding mower. There's something for everybody at the racetrack, right? There's something to win. I'll get back to the lineup and what's going on this morning in a second, but I have to send my Capital OTB video clip. I have to send it out to Brian Dorenzo, who does all the engineering, does a tremendous job for Capital, and I didn't struggle with the decision, but I didn't want to do the live cut-in today. That has been it's worked, but it's not the easiest thing to do. But I did waver a little bit, and this is an interesting card, and I'm sure we'll talk later. I expect Tom Law and John Shapazian, Saratoga Special handicapping team, and expect them in hour three. And so we'll probably go through a few of the key spots on the card. I haven't put the selections up yet, but one thing I did write that you'll see, it's a very interesting late pick four and pick five today. And the reason revolves around the two late races. The Birdstone going the mile and three quarters today. That feels like a very logical spot. And Lone Rock has really become a terror. And what a claim by Robertino Diodoro. And it didn't take Diodoro long to figure out that this was a horse that is long-winded and just will gallop along and gallop along. And when he started putting him into these marathons, everything changed for Lone Rock. And now he's on this long run. He's got, four wins in his last five starts, including the Grade 2 Brooklyn and the marathon at Churchill and the Temperance Hill, where he actually got beat a neck in the Temperance Hill. But Ramon Vasquez comes in to ride, and Lone Rock is very much the horse that to beat in the Birdstone. And then after him, you know, Moretti is going to be up smooth on the front end. I thought Rocketry might kind of remember how to run again, and I think he's not impossible. So anyway, it seems like he got logicals in that Birdstone, and then in the nightcap, a maiden 40, the three favorites or four favorites seem, you know, the winner comes from there. So that leaves you with two races, the early pick four, the late pick four, in the seventh and eighth. You've got vulnerable favorites. And when I say vulnerable, I mean like those videos from, you know, South America mountain regions, and the trucks are you know, going on, or that picture that the video Hammerly put up of the Colorado mining roads. You're talking about like a truck could fall off at any time. If you've ever seen the movie Wages of Fear, never seen Wages of Fear,
no.
Or the remake Sorcerer,
no.
Oh, get at it. Craig and Joe have shown up, so we'll get to them momentarily. But anyway, the two vulnerable favorites in that seventh and eighth to me, and then even for the pick five, that maiden New York bred group, it seems to me that the front end of the two sequences today have all kinds of potential for chaos and for real prices. And then with the fairly logical late double, I think there's some fun tickets to build. And so that was going to be my approach today. And that includes actually in that New York bred race, that New York bred maiden group. I'm going to take an early bullish stand on the Midnight Storm Babies. Joe Valenti?
Yeah.
Yeah, you got a read on the Midnight Storms?
No, they're fast, for sure.
Yeah, I think the Midnight Storms are going to be successful early, and it's one of those scenarios you try to get out in front of before everybody knows. So as a result, you got Jimmy Ryerson, who's already, you know, one of the smartest guys in the room, 8-1, and I don't see where the ones that have run, including the Wesley Ward, No Time Alone, 7-5, the Disengage from Michelle Nevin, 5-2. Nah. I'll tell you who else I'm going to use in there. On the outside, what do you know? What do you know about Country Dick Lugovich?
Yeah, not much, but I know that I like that horse. That was my horse.
Endry Omos.
Yes.
All right. So anyway, to me, the pick five and pick four today are really fun, because I think you spread it around and you try to beat those vulnerable favorites in the seventh and eighth, and then kind of narrow it back down in the ninth and tenth. So very playable card. Tomorrow's card is terrific. They drew the Whitney, and the rest of the action, the test, and the lure, and a fabulous Saturday card. And I got to tell you, and in fact, let me, Joe, grab that mic. Oh, and Craig, you can slap this on, although you won't leave one ear open. All right, there we go. That's it. Perfect. There we go. And let me say hello. And the first question is, Seidler. Okay, because you never know.
Yeah.
It's Seidler, Seidler.
Right.
Goldstein. Gold, yeah. You know, you just don't know. It's right. IEEI. It's a mystery. And Joe Valenti.
My man.
Whose name I've been spelling wrong for as long as I know you.
Right.
We got Ronnie Valenti,
yep,
up here.
And
you know,
somewhere along the line, my grandparents decided, one of them decided, hey, let's be different, I guess, because most of them are spelled that way with an I or an E at the end.
Well,
you know, same way Roddy's spelled, you know, V-A-L.
The problem with Roddy is if you spell his name wrong, somebody comes and knocks on your door.
Right.
And there's, you know.
Right.
Yeah, you know.
Right. Somebody's got to pay. Somebody. Yeah.
We kid because we love.
Yes. Absolutely. You can't laugh at yourself. Who are you laughing at?
Exactly right. What a pleasure. And of course, people are saying, I know that voice. You know that voice from Joe's long-running supplement ads. And by the way, it's time to BRL Nutrition, and it's time to make a new ad.
I like the last one, Andy Simoff, who's how I met Craig. Andy's like our brother. He gets a kick out every time he hears it. He calls me. He's like, whatever I say, he's in it. It's in it. He's like, you know, you don't like it, we'll knock you off. You know, screw you. You know, you don't like it. But I'll make a new one.
You and Casey, you guys tape something fresh. And you mentioned Andy Simoff, who everybody, anybody listens to the show knows Andy as much from his training as from the transport company. The shiniest vans, those big mirrored shiny.
He's the Larry David of the horse race industry, by the way. Andy Simmons.
I like that.
He
is.
He's hysterical without trying to be. You know.
I had a nice. I must be got it by now. It's probably 10, 12, maybe more years ago. We had lunch at that little Gulfstream, that little cafe, you know, that overlooks the paddock.
Yeah. He's the mayor down there in the winter. Yeah. He's the only guy going to the backside with a cart with no roof on it. Can't miss him. but he's the greatest. And that's how I met. That's we affectionately funny. Call him Chubbs. And we've
who, you know, who came up with sales. That? Oh, it goes way back. High school story, I guess.
Yeah, that's the Lou Cabell. That's why the show's 3 hours. You can go ahead. You can tell any story you want. That's the beauty of this.
Right,
but maybe you don't want to tell.
No good stories on that.
It's somebody. Do you remember who?
Maybe Chubbs Peterson. And Happy Gilmore?
How about that? How about that?
Not quite the same, but that's...
That's funny. Right. Okay. All right. Anybody that was following the Del Mar contest on Sunday saw that, you know, as Jay Privman says, you went to the front and improved your position. You poured it on. Humble congratulations.
Thank you.
106?
100 ended up with. Made a mistake in the second to last race.
Okay, so 100 even?
100 even. And the 70 cents I couldn't get rid of.
So that just kept hanging there? Right. $100,000.
Plus the $50,000 for winning, first prize.
That's right. Then so that's above the bankroll. That's right.
Right. Yeah.
Wow.
He talks like it's nothing. I'm like, are you kidding me? That's why I sent it to you. He hit a $50 exacta on was the seventh race?
I think it was the seventh race, yeah.
That one that paid $1,000. I'm like, how'd you come
Don't
on?
Ask me how.
Well, let's talk about that. Yeah. First of all, what's your contest experience in general?
You know, I don't play that often. I want to play more. I've actually won one before. I think it was like 2014 at Santa Anita. It was a $1,500 buy-in and had some luck there. Did the same thing, got in early, got a nice winner, and then just kind of ran it home from there. But that's it. Not too much beyond that.
He took my advice. I said to him Sunday, so look, just bet the minimum. Four races, 250 a race, and call it a day. Smoke a cigar. He said, okay, I'm going to do that. Obviously, he didn't do that. He made another $30,000 or $40,000.
Well, once everyone told me to rest in the lead, I had to keep playing.
So. It took the exact opposite of
right. Right.
Which is probably smart.
What he also didn't tell you is about 10 years ago, he took down the pick six. A single ticket, was it Hollywood?
No, it was Del Mar. It wasn't a single ticket. Four other people had it somehow.
Oh.
But it was fun. It was $300,000.
Yeah, $300,000.
So it was a carryover. It was a carryover scenario.
It was a million carryover day, yeah.
Yeah.
What was
August 31st, 2012?
Because It wasn't the same one. I got DQ'd out of a Del Mar pick six, and sort of knew, you know, watching the inquiry that's what was going to happen, but because you know at that time particularly we were playing you know all of them. Playing all the carryovers, so I'll go back to Derby Trail. In fact, I'll try to find it and find that sequence. But how long you been playing in general? What's your?
I think from
background?
The stroller.
Yeah,
the stroller hey I was now. Playing. But yeah, that's what I like to do. Let's just keep playing horses and finding ways to do it.
He's going to get in the tournament this weekend here.
Well, we've got the $3,000 Whitney. You know, one of the nice things about winning like that is you put away whatever portion and it bankrolls all your efforts. Are you? What about BCBC and NHC type efforts?
So I'd been in the BCBC one time before, and it was a complete opposite result of what happened last week. It was put it all in one spot, and I don't think that horse finished. So that was my one experience there. The NHC, I don't think people realize how nervous you are when you go into that. Mm-hmm. You go into that big room. It's pretty intimidating. Seems like everyone knows what you're doing. You're the only idiot that doesn't know anything. So I'm going to try to maybe qualify for that again. I chose the Pacific Classic Tournament in 2 weeks instead of the NHC. So I figure I've been doing okay at Del Mar. Let's try it there.
And I will be there. We're leaving on the 18th. We'll be out there broadcasting from Del Mar those 2 days leading up to Pacific Classic Day, and then we'll enjoy Pacific Classic Day. I think I'll probably end up broadcasting Monday from Del Mar and kind of figuring, we'll have the winners right on hand. And then we go to Vegas, and we'll be in Vegas Tuesday, Wednesday,
that's where
Thursday,
he lives.
Friday. You live in Vegas?
I do. It is fun.
Jesus.
Yeah. And we're going to be at the Eagles Vegas game.
Ooh.
Steve?
Ooh.
Yeah.
Because we're very frustrated with the, very unhappy with the league office, with the scheduling.
Right.
Because the Eagles are supposed to be home on Pennsylvania Derby weekend.
Right.
They have been for 6 straight years.
Right.
And we've, been able to go Saturday to Parks and then Sunday to the game. So now opening day is the week before, as well as the Rittenhouse Art Show.
Right.
So I think we're looking at, at a home and home. Going to Philly 2 weeks in a row.
2 weeks in a row.
I got to get tickets. We got to figure out about that.
I told you.
It's opening day.
We're going to Divine Lorraine for sure.
Right.
And you're going to eat a great meal with my buddy Dell and be fantastic.
All right.
Yeah. I met your buddy Will Schwartz. Did I tell you that? With John Service a couple weeks ago at Parks. What a great guy he is.
Just coming off the big Monmouth Oaks first and third on Saturday. We had Will on Monday.
Yeah. Yeah. What a nice guy.
He's the greatest.
Yeah. And so I met him with John at Parks a few weeks ago. And we're like one family. The more you go around,
exactly,
the more you meet people. It's just all one family.
That's the beauty.
You want everybody to win, and keeps the ball rolling. Greg and I own a couple horses together. One didn't make it, and the other one, hopefully, she'll do all right.
A couple of quick food hits because you're the Neil Pessin of the Mid Atlantic,
right.
and so we rely on your food pushes. But what's your Vegas? Because there's a lot of guys listening and gals that are heading. They're going to head to town for NHC. Some of your favorites.
I'm not on commission from any of these guys.
All right.
No recommendations.
He just goes with the flow. He's not a. It doesn't excite him like it does you and I. Good food.
No, huh?
I
no.
just eat it.
wherever they take you, you go.
Right. Puts the feed bucket on, and goes.
That's a very neutral kind of a neutral approach.
Yeah.
Pretty funny.
Yeah.
All right. Joe Clancy driving by.
You would think he would enjoy. Well, he does enjoy it. He's just not out to, solicit any. He's not in love with any like we are.
Interesting. All right. Well, and actually, I'm just realizing with this conversation that we're weeks away, and I forgot. I thought I had suspended myself a note on my calendar stuff for a couple of reservations, and I'm realizing I forgot to do them like in June. So I think we're going to have to rely on John Nichols, Clocker John. I'm hoping John has covered all the bases. I'll work on that. In fact, I'm not even going to mention the places I want to.
You
want
to
make
get
sure
in first.
I go. In the Arts District, there's a fabulous. I found not last year because we didn't have it last year, but the year before, I found a place in the Arts District. Who didn't even know there was an Arts District, and it's hip and cool and fabulous and local, right?
I don't go down there.
You don't go to the Arts District?
No.
No, he's. He's your kind of guy.
It looks like fun, though.
So basically, you handicap and play. You don't
do
anything else.
Yeah,
really. You don't care about
it.
He sits in his sports book off the strip. That's it. And whatever you feed him, and he just makes money. The guy's a machine.
That's great.
He's a machine.
This is great. Well, then let's expand on that. And in fact, we're going to have a conversation. I haven't even had a chance. We kind of got the flying start this morning. Going to be joined at about 10:15, as promised, by NYRA President Dave O'Rourke. And one of the major topics Dave is going to address today, and then at the Jockey Club Roundtable, and I think it's a week from Saturday. I think it's a week from Saturday. Yeah, it's usually mid-August, so it's got to be after the sale. He's going to be talking about gaming, you know, the gaming, the sports gaming potential and interaction. NYRA's already been kind of proactive with this MGM and bets, and mm-hmm. you know, some of the Fox the bets, and you know, they're doing some of that kind of cross marketing.
Yeah.
So we'll talk about that. But for you, Craig, you mentioned the sports book. How much? You know, obviously, you live in Vegas. It's not like the rest of us that have been waiting for access to sports gaming. And frankly, what we've got in the States is still not Vegas, and probably won't be. Because the States have got their claws mm-hmm. into it. But how much of your handle is horses? How much of it is sports?
It's probably about 70% horses, but I do love to play the sports. So I find myself, the car just drives itself to the sports book at the end of the day. We stop in, find a game, mm-hmm. and get it in on whatever's playing, baseball now and football when it counts.
Interesting. That's encouraging, I think. I mean, because you know, there is this big hanging question, and I'm sure, you know, being a resident, and I suppose it's different if you're in Vegas and you're a would you call yourself a semi-professional player at this point? I mean,
I'll take it. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you devote how much of your day is spent handicapping and you know, and considering options.
I have a day job, but I'm always looking at the DRF and the tote board or the odds board. I'm ready to make a play anytime. But what I think is, as people are sitting around watching games, they really like to just bet a horse here and there, and I think handle will be just fine.
Interesting.
I have a different take. I think horse racing does a horrible job of getting out the fact that a friend of mine, an older friend of mine, younger guy, you know, betting when I was betting in horses at 15, 16 years old, he always said to me, and I was betting anything under the sun at that point. You know, I'd hustle some money up, you know, work a little side job as a high schooler, and then, you know, bet anything. I did that till my mid-20s, and he's like, Joe, you're an idiot. I said, well, we know that, but tell me why in this particular instance. He said, because if you like horses and you know a little bit about horses, to put your money, lay 11 to 10 on a sporting event, now the odds are even bigger with all these companies, if they get all these new people into the game that don't, you know, that are betting, lay 11 to 10, 2-3 hours, bad calls, you know, you got to lay points. You got to be an idiot when you like horses and you know a little bit about horses. And so since that point, I don't bet a nickel on anything but horse. So I think horse race, you know, these 50 cent, I've heard you say many a times, these 50 cent wagers, and you know, where are you putting $40 into a pick four or into a game and coming out, even if you put into a parlay and coming out with potentially thousands?
That's a great point. Yeah. Very true.
We don't need to be like waiting for the scores like he made to public, like racetracks should be publicizing. You know, the pick four today paid $2,800 for 50 cents. You're not to all of these small bettors, you know, of games. Like no one should that would resonate with them, I believe. But you got to educate them on the game.
I completely agree. And in fact, I'm just reaching for yesterday's charts. I didn't get a chance to even discuss yesterday's racing, including the stuff we went over with Bill Downs at Indiana. But yesterday, to kind of drive that point home, I put up, and I my computer actually ran out of steam. I was going to put up the will pays for the pick six yesterday because, you know, we had quite a few horses that would have triggered a carryover, including that horse of mine that I made the play of the day, that Honor Hop,
right,
for Brian Lynch, and ended up getting beaten a length and change. But the pick six yesterday and this dollar pick six, $51,178. And that's with the 5-2 favorite in the nightcap, the yet another Chad Brown overlay, L'Imperator, who was making his 4-year-old debut. This was, you know, I put him, I think, fourth because I figured he was going to end up, you know, coming down. Instead, he went up in price somehow,
right?
Which was shocking. And L'Imperator was 6-1. But I'm sure if you're building a pick six ticket, he's at right, the worst, he's a C, and a B maybe on other tickets. Bareness, and congratulations to Cherie DeVoe and the Belladonna,
I like that
team.
One.
Bareness was an overlay, really, at 7-2. That Aunt Cat went off at even money, which I thought was a little hyper aggressive. And you know, there were three horses to use in there. They finished 1-2-3. Bareness Casual came running and just ended up. Bareness really surged at the wire too,
mm-hmm,
but the three of them came headlong to the wire. So there's nothing bizarre. The horse that I did not see coming, and I was kicking myself later. And congratulations to Mike Callahan at Capital OTB. He saw that Christopher, I guess, like a beach ball as the closer with a lot of speed. I completely killed my day, Christopher. 11-1, paid 23.80. So that was the tough horse. Towering Orbit, 7-2, and I thought was the right horse in that mediocre maiden special. And Sport Model, 6-5,
yeah,
or what are they, even less actually, in the New York Stallion Series, $52,000,
yeah,
in this pick six. This was not, I didn't do the parlay, but this was not, you know, some skull busting sequence. Christopher was the only horse, and obviously, you know, somebody, Mike Callahan, he saw it and he parlayed it into a bet for the, you know, they've got, Capital's got those bankroll things.
Yeah, well, that's my what I would love to see promoted, exactly that kind of thing, right?
Yeah.
Dollar picks, not the millions of dollars, but 51 grand. Where are you putting a couple hundred dollars into a sports bet and coming out with 51 grand? You know, you're just not. You know, I say this to Chubbs, all my friends, like, I think I'm a pretty decent handicapper with him, but I am the worst better known to man.
That's the challenge.
The worst.
That's the challenge. What, Craig, for you, talk about the ticket structure, and I've actually got the Del Mar charts. So, what race was the difference maker for you on the weekend?
Well, I knew I wanted to start out, kind of just get it in one spot. And we liked the Baffert in the second race. And it was a smaller field. It was a 6-horse field. So I just kind of thought, if I can use that 3-5 or 4-5, whatever we're going to get, if we found the underneath horse, maybe pegged an exacto or got the trifecta, find the horse that was going to run second or third, we could really clean up. So I used 4 combinations, played $500 tries, and I actually, in the paddock, narrowed it down to one of the Pete Miller horses. And in talking to Paul, we changed our mind. I actually canceled the ticket and switched to McCarthy, the 4 horse that ran second.
Valentina Gatta.
Got $850 on the exacta back, and we caught the try for $500.
Talk when you say you narrowed down, and see this. There's a lesson here, which is, and I was, when you guys walked over, I was about to launch into an absolute admonishment of the people that are complaining. How can there only be 5 horses in the Whitney? You got to be kidding. You got to be kidding. It's important to you to have 3 tomato cans
exactly
thrown in there, so some some horse is going to stop in the face of a real contender. You've got five grade one caliber stake horses.
Tremendous race.
Including a filly.
Yeah.
You couldn't, you know, and obviously there were a couple of horses that were rumored and thought about Happy Saver and this and that. It might have been nice. You've got five unbelievably qualified and serious racehorses, but it's important to have a 48-1 shot that's going to stop at the top of the stretch and ruin somebody's chances. That's more important because they think, and I love how everybody, go out and buy some used American racing manuals and go take a look in 1968 or 1974. You're going to be shocked that there weren't 12 horses in
every
state.
Right?
I've never seen such stupidity in my life. And every single Wednesday, when the Saturday cards are drawn, you got to see this spew of ignorance about, oh, the fields are so small. I want to absolutely reach through the screen and throttle somebody.
That's it, Steve. It
makes me nuts. You couldn't have assembled five nicer horses.
Correct.
In a race like this, where there's no, you know, there's nobody that, you know, is like an auto toss. It's a set of serious five horses. I mean, Maxfield, Silver State, By My Standards, Nick's Go, and Swiss Skydiver.
Oh, it's phenomenal. I can't wait.
Not according, you know, to the name a famous sports talk call-in, you know. Does Angelo Cataldi, does Cataldi like racing at all?
Has no clue.
No clue.
No, he has no clue
about anything.
About anything,
but that's beside
Keith
the point.
Keith Jones, you know, who's part of that show, he's still in the game. He had he has part of Drain the Clock.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah.
With Slam Dunk, with Nick Quesada.
Yeah, he's partially in Nick Out West. He's part owner in that horse.
Anyway, so my point of all this, you know, the classic fly off the handle for no reason.
That's all right.
Craig takes Craig's weekend where he made $100,000, $150,000 with the prize money, $150,000. He picked out a six-horse maiden field of first-time starters. That's another thing. First-time starters.
With a known 3-5.
With a 3-5 shot. And actually went off a 2-5. Baffert, Grace Adler, that Curlin out of our Christie for Willow Grace and Michael Lund Peterson. And took a 2-5 shot and used it as the building block to $150,000.
Amen. And that's where I give him all the credit in the world. I'm horrible at looking at a race and saying, okay, I narrowed this down to two horses. I'm pretty confident, and then making money out of that. You know, where he's phenomenal at it. You know, and a lot of other people are, and I'm very envious of that.
Talk off of Grace Adler, who paid $280, Valentina Gata $580 to place, and Sugar $340 to show, six horse field, and Exacta paid $850, and you had that how many times?
690 times. We had trouble with the math when it finished. Yeah.
That's very funny. And then the try paid $1,375.
I thought that was a nice return
with a 2-5 shot, and with only a potential of 5x4. Essentially, there were only 20 potential combinations behind the Slam Dunk winner, who, by the way, only won by 3/4 of a length.
We were nervous.
I was going to say, you couldn't have been thrilled, right? And so the $1,375, and you got that.
I think that was $1,375 for 50 cents.
For 50 cents, correct. Correct. That's right. So $27.50.
So 500 times the dollar. Yep.
Wow. Wow. Unbelievable. So now that we're two races into the weekend, and you're
breaking hearts,
and you're, well, yeah. People now, I mean, how quickly do you sense that people are, you know, if it was you looking up at the leaderboard, because you had how much after that?
So 19 and change.
Wow. All right. So right out of the blocks, and everybody is looking up at you at that point. Where do you go from here?
I think some of the other people who are known gamblers in these contests, people who take chances, kind of like myself, they caught up pretty quick, and they got to 13,000, 14,000. So it was nowhere near over. A friend of mine said, try to get to 40, 50,000. So how do you get there? So I had no strategy immediately after this point. I just looked down. I had looked at the card earlier the day. I said, you know, upcoming races, I like some long shots. So maybe we'll take $2,000 shots, $1,000 shot, $1,000 shot. And by the end of the day, we're going to get the rest of the money in and try to get it to $40, $50,000 and see what we can do from there. Didn't even look at the Sunday card yet. Didn't know who was running at that point. So,
but how did you come up with that exacta who paid $1,000?
I thought it was obvious.
Unbelievable. Which way? And that. Let me see. Where?
I think it was race seven.
Let me go. Let me go back to that's Saturday. There we go. There's Saturday. Well, you had. I tell you, you did have that 43-1 shot. Finished second in that. Fifth race, which
took that race off, didn't even have a clue.
What was the minimums?
I think you only had to bet four races and $250 in those races.
So you had to 1,000 each day.
So I think I could have quit by race four.
That's interesting. That's pretty funny. What was the buy-in?
It was 4,000, 3,000 to the wagering account, and 1,000 to the prize pool.
To the prize pool. Nice. All right, so then the seventh. Jesus, you got to be kidding!
It wasn't 78-1 when I bet it, so I had no idea it would drift that high.
This was the Eddie Freeman 78-1 winner, Miss Carousel with Giovanni Franco, and for this is a Redham Calbreds, the Square Eddie, unbelievable. And what appealed to you about this horse?
That wasn't my key horse. I played a couple exactas up and down, so I knew I wanted to spend between $500 to $1,200 at this point. I said I'm going to do this park to block anyone coming up because there were a lot of people on my heels at that point, and I had liked a couple other horses. I wasn't afraid of the favorite, so that was an instant. Just toss, even though the favorite was right there. It was only three length.
3-2 favorite, Alice Marble in there, as that was the D'Amato.
Everyone gets mad at me because I kind of just toss them on GP just to try to create something. So I get laughed at for that constantly. But that one wasn't going to hurt me in the tournament. I wanted something in front. It seemed like the other races at 5/8 on the turf were near the front. The workouts were quick on the Carla Gaines 10, I thought. And I played Brian Corner's horse, the two horse, that did get there. So I played six combinations on each. So exact the box. The Carla Gaines with three horses, two horses that were logical, and I was just searching for something else to play that's a price.
And this was a horse from off the pace. I mean, I don't have the PPs in front of me, Miss Carousel, but was obviously a closer in this group. And it's funny, they didn't exactly go fast either.
Right.
This wins by a nose, but was obviously strong because 23 flat for the opening quarter, 46-1, 57-4, and this is a 5-furlong, the classic Del Mar 5-furlong turf sprint. Unbelievable. 78-1 over the 27. Carla Gaines' horse that you keyed, who was going to be the speed, was 27-1 herself.
Well, that didn't scare me.
Obviously not. Yeah. So you end up with a $159 winner and a $24 place horse, and the exacta pays $1,025.20 for a buck. And you have it
50 times.
It's the greatest.
Now, somebody smarter might have looked at a payout and lowered it and did all that, but I just put it in for...
Do you look at Will Pays at probably?
I can imagine them, but I just kind of thought, if I'm going to be right one time, I want to be right one time.
When did you realize that Miss Carousel had drifted up and as the longest shot on the board?
Did it only after she won.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, the your key was the second horse. So that was one you were focused on, right?
The Carla Gaines was on the lead the whole way.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I was just hoping something would come up. And then the three, the favorite was sitting right there.
Yep.
And all of a sudden, I thought the six was sucking up on the turn on the inside, and then it didn't look like she was going to do anything. All of a sudden, she just went right past him. And it was a photo, and I said, well, I kind of want the 78 to 1 to win.
But why not?
Why not?
The place was silent after that.
Yeah. And you're the only guy in the room with it.
Yeah.
I had that feeling once in my life. That was at Hippodrome Blue Bonnets.
Wow.
For the 1995 Derby, where I literally was, I think, the only person that bet Thunder Gulch. There wasn't a peep, and I'm doing the Andy Beyer King of the World, And the best part of that was that there was a guy, some French Canadian saw me handicapping, and I'm looking there like, who you like? I said the 16. He said the 16, eh? Bah, tabernac. Nobody can win from out there in the auxiliary gate. Nobody is. No, everybody's won from the auxiliary
since
gate
then, yeah.
Since then. Now, right. Now it's over. The days of the auxiliary gate. But nobody can win from there.
Yeah,
except for me, Thunder Gulch. But anyway, that I love that feeling. I love when that happens.
I was like a statue. I didn't move.
Wow,
I was just sitting there,
ice cold.
He just sent me a text. I'm sure a few other people, you know, like the leaderboard when they put it up there, which I sent to you, and I said, that's when he had like 80 some thousand.
Scoreboard.
Yeah. He had like 80 some thousand. You know, he sends me his
Now their heads drop and their shoulders slump and. You know, you've slapped them around, but good. It's the seventh race on the first day.
Must have been 10 texts that come in that says, don't play anymore. Please don't consider show bets.
How did you? What did you do out of the eighth and the ninth and tenth? Anything?
Yeah, we kept it going. The pick five paid $170,000, and I bet three other winners in the rest of the sequence to win.
Wow.
So we kept it rolling. I don't know that the bankroll went up that much, but...
Oh, it went to over 80.
Not the first day. Oh, yeah.
The first day. I saw you were, I think I saw 80, yeah, I think 80-something.
Yeah, it was 80-something, yeah.
It's tough on Twitter because other people retweet the leaderboard, and so a leaderboard, you know, the screen capture pops up, and you know, you got to look, and was it after the fifth race, the eighth race? You have no idea where, you know. And then on Sunday, it was even, you know, I was keeping an eye on it. I was kind of, you know, watching with one eye, and then he sends me a note, my man Chubbs. Like, okay, nice. And I saw, you know, I saw a couple other people that congratulated you. You know, whose names, you know, instantly recognizable, and I've seen your name on leaderboards and such, but didn't know you. You know,
I thought it was really funny on some of those comments because they were kind of like backhanded, little, and he keeps playing race after race after race. They could see tally, but I was just having fun with it at that point.
Yeah,
that was
absolutely.
Just a little bit of taunting.
I love it. Yeah.
How'd you sleep on Saturday night?
Pretty good. Rested easy. I kind of thought it was done from there. I guess a couple people said they had a shot to come and get me, especially in the last race, but I thought it was over.
Well, and I saw the, when you went from 80 to 106,
mm-hmm.
somebody had actually gotten into the 50s, maybe?
I think they did, like somebody 46 got,
yeah,
or something
there was,
like that.
I saw somebody's within about 25, 30,000 of you. I saw that. And but then you close it out again. Where'd you go? How'd you close it out?
Well, we had dinner with Steve Maiotti Friday night.
Oh, nice.
He was talking to a few new clients. So I listened to him and played his horse there on another 5/8 turf race. Mm. And I was angry the whole way because I thought Kyle Frey shouldn't have taken back. And he went around and made me look like an idiot.
Fly the Sky was the... That's actually the boisterous that the barbers, Cecil and Gary. Mm-hmm. Gary bred that horse. Yeah.
I was like, yeah, please, just play your minimum. Come on, you know. But that's his game. He just... Like, if the apple cart is ever upset, he's going to be the one, you know, holding the apples. You know, yeah, that's his. He plays a different style, which I like. I wish I could do that. I you know, bet $20 I'm having a heart attack. But I love to bet, but $20.
Talk about your approach, the tools, you know, your favorite scenarios, just your basic. You know, you talked about, by the way, GP, for those that missed that reference, general principle, I believe.
Yeah.
All right. What's your day job, by the way?
I do water damage, mold consulting, asbestos.
Oh, wow.
So busy through the day. It's not like I'm just knocking it out of the park every day. Hard at work. Got to pay for this hobby somehow.
No doubt. No doubt. Hold on. They're having trouble at Capital OTB. I'm going to try to send them this video. I'll tell you. Maybe that's a sign that my play of the day is not a good
not
play.
To be played.
Yeah, exactly. I don't know. They may have to. They may cut in and do a live tchotchke here. All right. So then talk about that. You know what that reminds me of is Dr. Spangler in Ghostbusters. My hobbies are molds and spores.
Right. Right.
Your approach in terms of your handicapping approach.
You know, it's so much more like feel than using sheets or charts. I'm kind of just going off what I've seen happen before, and I think the thing that helps me the most is I'm ready to go home broke. I'm kind of used to going home broke.
Interesting.
So I'm not trying to win at the track every day. I'm just trying to find some spots where I can key horses and then kind of spread out. What I hate to do is play group pick four tickets, and everyone in the building's playing the same combinations looking to catch a $300 ticket. And I want to get beyond that or even less than that and play it multiple times. That's what I like to do.
Well, and we've been talking about that because seemingly for the first quarter of the meet, and there was the big Saturday a week ago, but I sort of was banging that drum a little bit. And I put up, you know, the pick five and pick four plays and, you know, ABC style. And I could tell after just the first 4 days of the meet, you know, $220 pick four, $900 pick five, $175 pick four, $750 pick five. Okay, I don't have to see this for 40 days. We're gonna you know, drill down. We're gonna start playing some dollars and $1.50 pick fours with very narrow focus. And if we're gonna play, you know, the typical $48 to $72 pick fives. I mean, and that's my budget. I mean, I see people putting up plays, you know, online and hitting for big money. I'm not putting $244 in. I'm not doing that into a pick five. I'd rather play three pick fives with $244, and I'll take my chances.
I agree with you.
I respect the guys that are doing that, and then there's plenty of people that are, you know, that are playing for three, you know, playing $3, you know, Nick Tamaro. I mean, there might not be anybody better than Nick Tamaro at this. You know, Nick will do that. Where, you know, I think part of the contest experience has, you know, he'll have a, you know, just on a Monday through Friday, you know, he'll hit a big try for, you know, 7.5 times, and you know, that's not how I just, it's funny because I, you know, I've got such a, I think, a mundane and you know, rank and file, you know, weekend player philosophy, and I've sort of felt that's, you know, kind of the people that, you know, that, you know, looking at my handicapping and looking at my, you know, presentation, but, you know, taking it, and I've never been able to take it to that, you know, to that next level. So, but I certainly can see when, you know, when the tea leaves are reading a certain way, just, okay, so let's.
Yeah, but we were on the same page. When I walked up, you were talking about, I believe, the ninth race today, this afternoon, was fairly formful. And some of the other were just obnoxiously wide open. I think the sixth and seventh race, I saw the same thing on the plane, and that's all I'm thinking about is how can I avoid getting in on the ninth race and get me in on the sixth and seventh, and I'll chase the chaos.
There you go. That's, to me, one of the best things, you know, one of the best ways to approach, particularly this meet, because, and Del Mar and Keeneland, you know, you see things on Keeneland, it's the same condition book, and, you know, Oaklawn is, it used to be this way, it's changed, obviously, now, but horsemen have certain expectations. They know that there's going to be certain races in the book, and you know the way the meet flows. Right. And so, as a result, there's a certain pattern and flow. And I think you got to plug into it and understand where the opportunities lie and exploit those. Exploit them playing to your strengths. That's not to say that the people that no solid real favorites when they see them, like what you did with the Baffert 2-5. That's fine. That's an approach.
Right. And that's probably what he would do in those races and take shots, not looking to have the favorite or the second choice in those wide open races. Just tossing.
You see all these races in California where there's three or four horses and they all seem like they're the same and they all can win. And everybody I play a ticket with wants to go, well, let's use all four. Well, I can't stand that. Let's just pick one or two and try to create something because we're not getting any value just getting through the leg. Everyone knows you need four and five horses here. I want to use four and five where maybe we could beat the favorite and reach out. So,
yeah, it's how you win money. I mean, real money, you know, for a lot less money. In an investment, and Craig and other people like that, I envy that because they're reading the form and they're seeing that in advance. I don't. I read the form and I'm like, okay, I like these three here. I like this one here, that one there, and I just play it like kind of on a cursory level. These guys who are really looking to maximize dollars are seeing it on a higher level when they see that, you know. And you would think, you know, reading the racing form for 45 years, you know, being at the races since I was a kid, you would think I'd have gone above that by now, but shockingly, I haven't. It's kind of crazy being around it every day, and I still am a horrible better.
Well, and you know, your part of it is too. Not that people from the bloodstock trade, or in your case, you know, the service industry for the industry, when it comes to the equine nutrition products, not that those people can't, you know, morph into serious players, because they do. But I find it very hard for a different reason, which is you. You're exposed to so much information, and you've got so many friends, and whether they're the horsemen or whether they're the owners and the breeders, and I don't care how dispassionate you are and how much, I mean, there's obviously people that have got that mental, you know, that ability to just shut out all the extraneous and all the noise. The Matisses, Paul is... you know, just so tunnel visioned, and you know, he manages to net everything out. I don't know about Duke, but Paul definitely does. it creeps into your. It's impossible for at least for me.
Definitely for me. You know? I root for everybody that I know that's using any of my products, and so if I'm looking at a pick three and I'm like, okay, I know these two guys use my products, and I'm between three horses, so I'm going to put those two in. Purely, I do a lot of stuff with my heart, and I root for, I do know too much information a lot of times. I know so many people, and in all aspects of it. I mean, I live, eat, and breathe this game, you know, 24/7. You know, whether it's bloodstock or the supplement game or the handicap, and I love it. There's no place I'd rather be. My wife's, her family's from Croatia, right, Steve? So every like 2 years, every other year, basically. They go to Croatia. Family has a lot of land right on the Adriatic Sea. And my wife is takes some of the kids. And I'm like, have a great time. Love you. I'll see you back in Saratoga. This is my Croatia. There's no place on earth I'd rather be for 8 weeks than right here. And this is the very first year I'm staying here for the entire 8 weeks, not going back and forth. My youngest son, Chase, we call him Snapper, he's working at the tack shop at Pacesetters. So he's delivering and taking products. So I can't leave him here by himself. So I'm staying, using that as the excuse, you know, and then we're staying here and the house, you know, people come and go, and we got like 9 people this weekend. I love it. You know, the more the merrier. And, I do know too much, you know, too many. You root for everybody you know, and that's part of the reason why I'm a horrible better.
Well, and you also don't, when it comes to, you know, doing the write-ups and making the selections, I mean, I'm on the radio 15 hours a week.
Right.
So people hear me talk about certain people and obviously have certain relationships with certain people and outfits. And so, you know, you don't want to look like it's a double-edged sword. I mean, Gary's horse, Siaka's horse in the
opening day.
Opening day, you know, was I thought, you know, his contender. You think if I put Gary up, do they think I'm just doing it because
it's a good friend of yours,
or because I know something?
Right.
No, I try to, you know, I try to just net it out and you know, look at it without that.
And then when it wins and you don't have it up there, they're like, "Oh, you hid that one from us."
Exactly,
yeah, it's a no-win situation.
Exactly, yeah. It's just a funny, added element, and you know that's why to some degree with some of the anonymous, names and faces, we're going to have Tom Law, who's not anonymous, but John Shapazian, who is local, and John is somebody that's built this reputation. You know, he's not a public handicapper in terms of being widely known. He just does Saratoga, and that. You know, that's it. During the season with the Saratoga special.
Special, yeah.
And so
we got to get Chubbs on that grid next year. All that.
No, I can tell. I can tell already. This is not his. That's not.
No, he likes to roll under the radar
exactly.
And then just go with the satchel bag, like once
exactly.
Every 2 weeks. He's my idol when it comes to this. He sends me tickets like I dream of. I would have a heart attack. He sends me like voucher pictures and bets he makes, and I'm like, my goodness, you're the greatest.
Craig Seidler with us. In terms of the circuits that you follow,
I like to follow the West Coast the best.
Pretty much.
But it's kind of tough,
right.
Smaller field.
Yeah, it's
things.
Hard.
I get mad at them all the time, so I get like 2 weeks on, and then I get really frustrated at them, and I step out to New York and a little bit to Kentucky.
Interesting. That's really interesting. It's for years I never played with the West Coast until I got involved in the show, and then realized I have to start looking. And it actually started with Hollywood, and it was something from our website, because when Hollywood would have those Friday night those great Friday night cards, and of course on the East Coast, I mean the card wouldn't start till 7-8 o'clock at night Eastern. And would go till 1 a.m., 1:30 would be the... And so we would have, Friday night at the Hood and on my website, and we had so much fun. And so I started to latch on, and when they put in the cushion track, and they mandated, when Shapiro mandated the synthetic tracks, it was Hollywood's with the cushion that was the easiest to handicap. The Del Mar and Santa Anita took a little bit longer to adjust to, but that's when I started to use National Turf, Andy Harrington, and the clocking reports, and then all of a sudden, I really started to enjoy, following the West Coast, and it was because of the show. So it was, it was a serendipitous in a lot of ways, and I've had tremendous success after never. Playing West Coast, and certain things took a while. It took Rick Hammerly teaching me how to play the downhill course, before I got comfortable with that. It's hard. I mean, and you know, in recent years we've been featuring midweek. We've been featuring Indiana and Canterbury.
Yeah.
You know, you get familiar
throw
with
darts
a
lot of those.
A little bit, but yeah. You'd be
those
surprised.
Indiana bred
the
races.
The Indiana stuff. I mean, and the Minnesota as well.
Yeah.
It's very fun, and the best part is, I don't think the general public is. I mean, obviously they're doing $1 million to $2 million a day in handle, which is solid, and you know it's not there's not the you know the really savvy. I don't think all the sharps are you know are hammering away at them. I mean, Paul Matisse again taught me that or showed me. Some of Paul's real focus, mountaineer.
Hmm.
Mountaineer.
He
goes to town.
Definitely the sharpest tech in the jewelry. And so you're dealing,
there's people who have latched on to Presque Isle,
mm-hmm.
where horses are horse. It's like the greyhounds. They're running every week, every 10 days.
Right.
Those horses at Presque Isle on that great surface. They're running 2-3 times a month.
Wow.
And
standard breeds.
And the condition book, Dick Powell's going to join us, and Dick and I did some stuff with Presque Isle the last three or four summers. It's amazing, you know, when you start seeing horses regularly, and we also feature Hong Kong, which has got the scale up and down, you know, horses moving up in weight, and then they get beat a couple of times, now they come back down. It's... You know, it's stuff that if you focus in and you get into a real pattern, you'll be rewarded. I mean, so I understand, you know, staying focused and knowing the trainer jock combinations, knowing the angles, the under the radar horsemen, a Miati, for instance, is a good example.
I think in those mid-level tracks like Canterbury, places where they love racing, you know, we went out there a couple of years in a row with Scott Lake for the Claiming Crown, maybe a dozen years ago or so, had the best of the time. But the thing that happens, you get a lot of regulars there, a lot of new people every day betting small money, and they don't really know. So that's 80% of the pool is a lot of just, in my perception anyway, are just newbies to the game going there every day. And a guy like Craig or anybody who's sharp who wants to focus in on that can make some money because most people aren't as savvy betting those tracks. But they love it, so they show up and they bet, you know, a couple bucks each person and makes the pools, a lot of amateurs in there, you know. Now, Steve, one last thing. I wanted to describe the difference to you, like we talked about when you sent me that text with Navarro.
Oh, yeah. Go ahead.
Navarro and Jason Service and the problems of my product and others like it, the EPO Equine and the name. In the medical world, the acronym EPO stands for erythropoietin, not epigen. Epigen is a synthetic drug, as you know, made for cancer patients whose kidneys don't work. Erythropoietin is a natural hormone that our bodies make. The more erythropoietin that our kidney produces, it signals to the bone marrow to make more red blood cells. That's what we do. We've done it for 11 years, been tested around the world. That's where the name comes from. We actually make a 99% similar product called EQ Royal for those people that, for whatever reason, don't want the name. Have some standard bred people. And some show jumping people, they don't want the EPO name for it because of it, basically just ignorance. But it's not for anything that, Godolphin has tested this product and others for us around the world. It's completely safe. I have some of the largest people on the West Coast been buying this, lots of it. For 11 years I've been making it. It was just me traveling the country. So our product and others like it, the only thing I would suggest to anyone is make sure where the products you're buying are not made. Look at the ingredients. Look where they're being made. USDA approved facilities, federally approved facilities anywhere, not just in somebody's basement. I go into tax, and I cringe at some of the stuff that's made, you know, because you have no idea. You're just basically blindly believing that what's in this jar is what's on that list.
The difficulties from and this seems to have abated, the problems that arose from the compound laboratories.
Yeah,
and these compound labs that were doing custom blends and stuff.
Yeah.
But at the same time, they're also doing custom blends for God knows who, and there's residuals. It's like when you buy some sort of a candy bar or a baked good, and it says made in a facility that uses works right. with nuts, and so there's a chance that there's going to be nut residue. Well, the horsemen have been caught in blind switches where something tested because there was residuals in the compounds that from the containers where stuff was compounded,
right?
And so that seems to have abated. There seems to be less and less of that. I think when that sort of that awareness happened, people started to get they got very careful, and they said, all right, no more, we're not going to buy from that kind of a supplier anymore.
Right.
So you bring up an absolute legitimate point about, USDA and probably ISO 9000,
yes. Yeah.
Stuff like that,
I can speak for our products are all, what's called show safe. They have the highest testing, like the
nice.
The Olympic Committee stuff. So if they can race in the Olympics, if they can use that stuff, they can use it pretty much anywhere. And there are other companies just like it. But just when you go into a store, you're looking online, if you don't see exactly percentages of products, where it's made, don't buy it. And I tell that, and it's it's played on spades. Took us 11 years to come up with 4 products. I believe I got the best one in every segment of the market. Most of these guys use at least one or two of them, and I couldn't be happier. Jack's my man. Love Jack and Doug, and their vets have a major vet sell it. Peter Miller has been buying my IPO powder for 11 years, every month. So, I'm proud of that. Ron Fauché in New Orleans won the training title. I mean, he's a local guy. When he 3 years uses all my products. Is that what's making him win? Absolutely not. But they understand they're just part of the puzzle.
Absolutely.
And I want to make sure that, and they know that what we're giving them is perfectly legal and safe and nutritious and helping them and for the horse. And so, if I don't believe it, there's no way we're making it. And because I love the game too much. I love every aspect of it. And I love the people in it. And I was a banker most of my life. And, this afforded me to do something that I love doing. And meeting, I would never would have met my man Chubbs if it wasn't for Andy and you and all these, Chuck Simon and all my boys. Never would have met him. And now, and it's all from this. So anybody who's doing anything nefarious in the game, just one strike and you're out in my game, in my world, and that's the end of it. And we move on. It's bad in every industry in the world.
That's for sure.
That's for sure. And now today, hopefully, in this weekend, we're going to follow Chubbs' coattails. And give us a horse, Chubbs, for today. You've been reading the form all day on the program.
What do we got?
Give us one.
Let me pull it up. You better keep talking for another minute.
Give us one you uncovered on the plane, buddy.
Chipping in.
He's going to get him in that Whitney tournament this weekend.
Well, watch out. Do you partner up with anybody ever, or are you always on your own?
I'm usually on my own, but I'll take some partners.
Not me. Don't look at me. Not me.
No, you should bankroll him. That's
he doesn't need my bankroll.
That's a good point, actually.
He doesn't need my... I got all of our crew around here, looking for his picks today because I've been so proud of him and happy for him. I've been telling all my friends around here.
Too fun.
Who you come up with?
What about Calabigi in the 7th?
That's the race I ended up using as the capital. That race is so wide open. That's the Linda Rice?
That's right.
I've got no problem with that one. And I thought that Mystery Bank, Calabigi, Mr. Kringle, Bad Guy, and Life on Top. I mean, that's 6 of the 10, and I didn't even mention I mentioned Land Biscuit, the favorite. I think is very vulnerable in there. I think it's just a horse, just okay. Could win, but I don't want... I think I wrote... 10 horse field, there's 5,040 superfecta combinations possible. Almost every one of them is possible in here. I think the 30-1 shot, spectator list, Eddie Pringle, I don't think is a win candidate, but it absolutely can you know, be a part of the super. So it's, to me, it is a, that's a prime, that's what I've been doing all me, is finding races like this where, you know, you're just looking for a trip, you're looking for, you know, extreme scenarios, either no speed or a lot of speed. You know, that's what you're looking for, and vulnerable favorites, and there you go. Or you can do it the other way. You can find 2-5 shots and drive them into the ground.
I love the homework you've shared with us, Steve, for the long on the turf, this or the state press going long.
It's unbelievable.
Like the average winner the last 5 years, about 8-1.
Eight to one.
You know, and so you got a key in those races with a key.
And this is also true.
Thanks
downstate.
For doing that.
Not at all. I latched onto this. You know how actually that came about? Finding that was, we were looking for horses to claim with DT. Gary and Pretension.
Oh, wow.
That Chris Grobe had. The wonderful state horse ran in the Preakness. We claimed Pretension. And it was when I was basically watching Thoroughgraph figures, looking for a horse to claim, a horse with conditions or, you know, whatever you want to latch onto as a potential claimant. And that's when I started to notice there's like no difference between the sixth choice at 12-1 and the favorite at 5-2 in this arena. There's that much. Either you talk, when you, to use Thoroughgraph, you're talking literally a point or two. So you're talking, you know, a couple of lengths difference. And on the turf,
right,
going long. Come on, you could have a favorite. You could have a favorite outposted, you know, in the 10 hole. That suddenly is completely compromised, and now it's an absolute odds-neutral scenario.
Right.
Where that favorite is one of seven that can win. So I'll thank you. I'll key the 10-1 shot. You know, like you did with the in the exacta with the Carla Gaines. That, I mean, to me, that's my approach. But there's more than one way of skinning a cat.
I think the good, because like Craig doesn't have one way, which is, I think.
Well, that's a trick.
That's a bonus, you know. Some people, like you say, get, this is the way I play, and I got to look for this. Craig doesn't have one win. That's why he wins, you know, makes some huge scores. You know?
Multi-tool. I love it.
Yeah.
This was tremendous fun. Joe Valenti. And what's Chris selling or buying at the sale?
Christian, he'll be here Friday. Yeah, he's bought some really nice horses out of the November sale that we're excited about. Then the November mix sale, he bought a horse named American Patrol. One time for Mott and Judd Mont for 50 or 60, and that horse run a 4 on the Thoroughgraphs going long. And going to show that horse. Cal Lynch has that. And he bought a Malibu Moon out of that unraced as well for 50, who has won a filly. Third, first time, win next time, win an allowance easy the next time. So, and then he'll be up here buying some yearlings. He does, moved to Ocala, has a little farm in Ocala, and now he's doing great. Yeah.
Is there a way to reach him? How do people?
Christian Valenti. He doesn't have a website or anything like that.
Yeah.
I mean, Nick can contact me, and we'll put him in touch with him. Chubbs and I, we've made some money pinhooking this winter with him.
Look at you.
Picking up some weanlings for us in November, and then flipping them 2 months later, you know, in January, mixed sale and stuff. He does a lot for a lot of people. He's really quiet, and he's, you know, super, which is hard to be in this game. Not hard to be. It's few and far between. Super ethical. He knows I'd kill him if he wasn't. And it's all good.
And what about the website and contact for you for those for BRL Equine?
Your best bet is to just call me. It's brlscience.com. We make human products and equine stuff. But the best bet is just call me, 215-501-6880, and I'll put you in touch with whoever we need to in your area.
Twitter for you? No Twitter?
No Twitter.
No Twitter.
No, he's the
he's,
yeah.
you listen, are, the he's real, off the grid. He's off the grid.
All the real
this guy.
Sharp guys are that way. Don't you understand? You haven't learned that. A lot of guys are smoking mirrors. This guy, you know.
Yeah, I can see him ensconced in Vegas. There's like a war room.
Yes.
And
yes.
You know what? It's yeah.
Right. He takes a mold
a
off in the mornings.
Out there. Yeah.
He takes the mold off in the mornings, you know, and in the afternoon he's in that little room you describe, and he's making stacks.
Ah,
yeah.
Well done. Tremendous.
Yeah.
Greg Seidler and Joe Vellante, tremendous fun. I was looking forward to this. We have to twist his arm a little.
Yeah.
He is a little media shy.
Right.
I am going to take a picture of you to put up on today's listing. You got to. So now they're going to know. They'll know to be looking and be watching out for Greg on the leaderboard. The Whitney contest, everybody, $3,000 buy-in. And if I'm not mistaken, I'm just going to guess because it always seems to be the case. By 5 o'clock, got to register by 5 p.m. tomorrow. 5 p.m. tomorrow, and I'll send out the link and the team, including I'll get you the exact email address on the break. We're going to take the break here, and in fact, I'm looking for him, but I don't see at a glance. I'm sure he'll be here because we're going to talk to Dave O'Rourke. And we're going to talk some sports betting with Dave.
Yeah.
As well, actually. So, guys, thanks so much for this.
Thank you, Steve.
Tremendous
good
fun.
To you, buddy.
Tremendous fun.
Appreciate
outstanding.
It. Great day.
There we go. Let's take a break. We're live at Saratoga, of course. And when we come back, either Dave O'Rourke will be here or we'll slip in the visit with Dick Powell. I want to get Dick in for his thoughts. And Tony. I owe Tony, the great Tony Black. We owe Tony a call as well. Later, John Chapazian and Tom Law will be live with us. So live visitors each hour. That's why we come to the track. Ripped from today's headlines and plucked down in front of me and right off of the leaderboard this weekend at Del Mar. Back after this to the spot.
Latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
There's a great story to tell in Pennsylvania. Only three states have produced more